Blog Talk Radio.
From the studios of Teeing It Up in the swamps of Jersey and Daytona Beach, Florida, this is Teeing It Up Presents the NFL Sunday Sprint for Week 9. It's Week 9 already, Luke? Week 8? Week 9?
Mark's the midway point.
Yeah.
Comes quick.
Midway points in the National Football League season. It is Week 9. See, when your team's 2-6, you lose track of these things.
Yeah, you also lose track of the record because our state is 3-5.
Yes, thank you. Luke. Hey, that can happen. You know, we're talking about draft picks, right? I don't think this thing... Hey, here's a question. Do you think realistically the Jets, even with their improved performance last week against whoever they faced... I can't think of who they faced off. And they won a game that they had no business winning. I mean, to go down the worst first half of football that some of those players had ever seen against Cleveland. I thought it was Cleveland, and then I thought I was wrong, and thus I didn't say Cleveland. And then, you know, to battle back like that, you lose track of things like that. Plus, I wasn't there to watch the game. I only watched half the game. So, my mind was somewhere else.
I'll give you a pass because it's been a forgettable start to their season, so I don't blame you one bit.
And thus, I'm so lost that I didn't even finish the question, which was this team have a more likely opportunity to be playing for a playoff spot or a draft pick, and I think I know your answer to that. Now they face a Miami team that is just awful. I mean, this is two franchises. By the way, I'm pretty sure, and I'll look it up, that these two teams meet again on like Thursday Night Football or Monday Night Football or something. Like
I can't wait.
Yeah, seriously. Someone thought that the Dolphins would be better. Look. You know, we've talked about it before. Ryan Tannehill has to step up and get better, and he has failed to do that this season. And, yes, it is a Saturday night game, December 17th, as part of the Thursday Night Football package, Jets-Dolphins. There you go.
Can't wait.
Seriously. All right, so we have to get serious here because this is our show. A Jet team that battled back in the second half against a Dolphin team that right now is 3-4 and just not anything special, I think, is the best way to describe the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, but they've been able to run the ball of late with that Jay whatever his last name is, however you pronounce it. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because I'm sure I'll say it wrong, but he has over 200 yards in each of the last two games for a guy who didn't even travel with the team in week one. So he's been playing well. Now Ryan Tannehill needs to catch up. And, you know, the Dolphins are coming off back-to-back wins against a Bills team that was playing well and a Steelers team that was the game in which Big Ben went down with the injuries, so kind of put an asterisk next to that. But, you know, Adam Gase, first-year head coach with Miami, and maybe the system's finally settling in there a little bit here at the midway point, but still a must-win for the Jets to stay relevant, and I guess in the same vein, it's almost a must-win for the Dolphins to keep up as well since they're under 500.
Well, my thing too, Luke, is that that there comes a point where, look, if the Jets want to do this, you got to be 5-5, then have the bye, and then come back against the Patriots. That's how this gets done. So if you can't beat Miami this week or can't beat Los Angeles next week, you don't deserve to have the shot against the Patriots. And this is the exact type of game the Jets have lost season after season after season, usually due to turnovers or poor play. So we shall see. what happens. I want to skip over the Jets because there's not much to talk about and move on to your Vikings because there's a lot to talk about. They face the Lions. We are pre-taping this show because this time Sunday you will be in that stadium for the first time. So we start off with a non-football question. What are you most looking forward to seeing in this new stadium?
Man, I don't know if there's one specific thing. Just, you know, we're certainly going to get there early and walk around just to check everything out. I guess the one specific thing would be that we did one of those, what the Vikings call a legacy brick. So my family has one of the bricks in the stadium, you know, with our name on it. And I believe it says something like biggest Vikings fans in Connecticut, something along those lines. So we're certainly going to have to find that and see where that is at the stadium and take a picture. So I guess that's the one specific thing, but just excited to see the whole stadium because it certainly looks pretty amazing.
Have they told you where it is?
It's in a general, I have a general idea. I got a map that emailed to me back in the day. So we're going to, we know the area, but we're going to have to find it amongst all the other ones.
Yeah, our friend and colleague Andrew Visano had the same thing, and he and his family had to go find it. It's like a scavenger hunt.
Yes.
Now, for weeks I've been talking about how your Vikings were the best team in football, bound for the Super Bowl, maybe would even win the Super Bowl against the Patriots, and they have forgotten how to play offense. What has happened?
Yeah, isn't it funny how things go like that? And with the NFL being such a week-to-week business, you know, they go from being a Super Bowl favorite to now not even making the playoffs 2 weeks later. But it's odd. I mean, they had the bye week. They came back, and they looked like a totally different offense and a terrible offense at that. I don't know if they lost their mojo or what. In my opinion, or what from what I've seen, oftentimes – coordinators are at their best when they're most uncomfortable, and I've felt that was the case with North Turner over his tenure with the Vikings. When he loses a guy like Adrian Peterson, he has to get crafty, he has to get creative. You hit Sam Bradford, whatever it was, 9 days before week one, he has to do certain things to help that offense go. Then you enter the bye week, Bradford's been there for almost 2 months, you get 2 weeks before your next game to do things. And I think he kind of outsmarted himself trying to get back to his regular offense, which features a lot of 5- and 7-step drops, and the offensive line is just way too poor to protect Bradford. And so in the last two games, he's been sacked 11 times in the two games alone. He was sacked 8 times in the first 4 games in total. So it leads to the resignation of North Turner. Pat Shurmur taking over, who I think his offense fits much better, and I think we'll see a different, maybe it's the same results, but I think a different philosophy offensively on Sunday against the Lions, which I'm looking forward to.
Super Bowl champions again?
Hey, we'll see. I mean, they're still in first place. They got the number 2 seed in the NFC, so there's plenty of time to turn this around. It's only back-to-back losses.
I think most people agree that Houston will not be a home team at their own Super Bowl, which brings us to your Vikings. Are the Vikings positioning to peak next year when they host Super Bowl 52?
I think so. I mean, they have all the pieces even this year. The only thing that's going to hold them back is that offensive line, and they lost another one in Alex Boone, who's still in concussion protocol this week and won't be able to play for it. Against the Lions. So that's the 6th offensive line that they've lost. So you have option number 11 starting on the offensive line. I mean, it's tough for any team to overcome that. So give them an offseason to get healthy, to get more guys in there, and hopefully fix this offensive line next year because I think that's really their only weakness.
Yeah. No U.S. president has ever attended a Super Bowl, and no team has ever played in their own building for a Super Bowl. Two quirky facts about the Super Bowl over the last 50 years. We've spent a lot of time on two games because that's what we do sometimes on the Sunday Sprint, which brings us now, as we are quickly running out of time on the show, to Philly Giants. Interesting game in that these two teams always have competitive games, always are interesting, and if the Cowboys ever falter, we need that next team up. I don't think it's Washington. It could be the Giants now that they're, you know, finally having an offense on all cylinders.
Yeah, the defense is playing a little better of late as well. I mean, they spent so much money on that defense. You expect them to perform. They're coming off a bye week, so they have 2 weeks to prepare for Wentz, and I believe they'll be able to shut them down. Wentz has regressed over the past couple weeks, and we saw last week in Dallas, I thought, what was a very underwhelming performance. His average distance on his passes was 4.6 yards. I mean, he's been doing – they've made it real simple for him. A lot of checkdowns, and I think that's much easier to stop. So when you have 2 weeks to prepare for that against a rookie with an improved defense for the Giants at home against the Eagles, I like New York in this matchup, and I think they'll shut down Wentz.
The Colts also have no offensive line. They face a Packers team that's struggling. You love the NFC, Norris. What's up with Green Bay?
I'm not sold on Green Bay. I know the Vikings, two losses here. Everyone's jumped on their bandwagon now, picking the Packers to win the division now. I think they'll win this game at home. The Colts' offensive line is on pace to allow the second most pressures in a season on their quarterback since they've been tracking that. That's how bad that offensive line is. And Andrew Luck is still having a phenomenal year, all things considered, without really getting the recognition. So he'll keep it close in Lambeau, but the Packers are still tough at home. And Rodgers will make enough plays. Third straight bad defense Rodgers is facing, so cool all the talk on the offense being soft in Green Bay. They still have a lot of issues.
Is this the night Oakland has a big national TV party against Denver? Now, look, this is a Denver team with, you know, it doesn't have Peyton Manning. But these Raider fans have been really waiting to come out and say, look, you know, we are legit on a national stage. And what they have done this year on the road, going undefeated on the road with Derek Carr playing MVP-like numbers, this is a Raider team that could end up in the playoffs, Luke.
I like this team a lot. With that said, I think they're headed for a letdown. National stage, Sunday night, at home, against a good Broncos team. This is like almost a showcase-type game for them to prove themselves to the national audience. Still a young team. They have a lousy defense. And so I think in this case, the moment may be too big for them, but it'll almost benefit them moving down the road as they'll learn from it. The Broncos have a very good defense. Raiders are not good at home. And Trevor Siemian, I think, is very underrated. I think he's performing a lot better than people think. I don't think there's a huge separation between him and the rookies that we see in this league, and Prescott and Wentz this year. And so I think he'll make enough plays Sunday night, and the Raiders will have a letdown, but I do see them in the postseason nonetheless this year.
We're going to go to the end of our radio program because that's what time dictates. Your game of the day is?
It's tough. I'll say Eagles-Giants because I like a good division rivalry.
I'm with you on that. Your sleeper game?
Sleeper game? I'll go Titans-Chargers, I guess. I don't know. Something about that game. I think there'll be some offense.
I'll go with the Sunday night game for that one. Your game to watch golf during?
Definitely Cowboys-Browns. I think it's a bit of a trap game. I still think the Cowboys will win, but I just have no interest in watching the Browns.
Same. That's also my Survivor game, and I do believe we will see Tony Romo this season. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I actually thought we would see him this week, so I think it's going to be sooner rather than later.
You think Dak Prescott's getting a tad exposed?
Absolutely, especially against the Eagles Sunday night. It was the first time that I've watched a game for him, really, from beginning to end, and I came away kind of underwhelmed.
You watched that over the World Series?
I was flipping back and forth, but I definitely watched more football that night. Yep.
You are a rare commodity. Your Survivor game.
The Cowboys is an obvious one. I'll also say, I'll be bold, I guess. I'll say the Chiefs at home against the Jaguars.
Okay. Shriners Hospitals for Children open on Golf Channel on Sunday. Your player to watch today?
I'll say Theo Riddick for the Lions. No Eric Kendricks for the Vikings.